All right, let's go ahead and get to it on the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Mike Connie. Mike, it's a little bit cooler over the past couple of mornings here in Atlanta. How is it feeling where you are?
I am on Hilton Head Island, and it's about 70 degrees right now. But it's supposed to get down into the 50s later this week once this hurricane blows through. So I think I'm about to get a taste of what you guys are having up there.
Define working vacation for me, Mike, because I just don't see how those two things go together, Mike. So I need you, because you're one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, Mike. Break down the working vacation for me.
Boy, that's such a great question, because all of them are different depending on what's going on back at the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, and I have to give your co-host Abe a lot of credit for this, because I have Abe and Bo Morgan and Day-Day kind of running interference for me and putting out small fires. Yesterday, I had very, very few disruptions from the office. Today, I've had a few more, but nothing bad. So my definition, Randy, of a working vacation is a vacation where you're answering emails and you're taking phone calls from work, but you're not going to meetings.
Oh, I got you.
Like my big manager's meeting is every Tuesday at noon. I already told our boss, Rick Cappy, you're not going to see me in that today.
Okay.
So I think that's where you draw the line. If you have to go into a meeting, it's no longer a working vacation. It's just work.
Gotcha.
I think the other aspect of a working vacation is maybe not headed down to State Farm Arena, and we know Caleb Johnson's going to have that covered for you, but the Atlanta Hawks, their vacation is over now. They're starting the preseason tonight and obviously hosting the Indiana Pacers. It's a four-game stretch of preseason, two home, two road. And just in general, for the fans who are just kind of looping themselves back into the NBA season, back into the Atlanta Hawks, obviously guys aren't going to play 38 minutes tonight, but what maybe should we be looking for in the first run of the season?
You know, the one thing I do like about the NBA preseason, Abe, is that you do almost always get an honest game from your first teamers, to use a football term. Like, it's not like what we've seen from the Falcons the last couple of years, where barely any first teamers play, and if they do, they're only in for a series. Like, I think you're going to see the Hawks starting group, I don't know this for sure, but I would speculate probably at least 20 to 25 minutes. Maybe in the fourth quarter you don't see them. And then they'll kind of graduate to a point where I think next Monday at home against Philadelphia, that will be treated as the full dress rehearsal game, where you might see Trae Young play for 35 minutes. Then they'll go to Oklahoma City next Thursday, and that might be the G League tryout game, if you will. So I think if you're going to the arena tonight, you're going to see an entertaining game. You're going to see the Hawks and the Pacers, two high-scoring teams from last year. I think you're going to see Trey. I think you're going to see Halliburton. I think you're going to see, the Pacers playing their guys. And the one thing that I'll be curious to see tonight, I'm fortunate enough that on Hilton Head here, I'm in a Bally Sports Market, so I'll be able to watch. And, of course, listen as well to Steve and Caleb on the Odyssey app, as you all should be doing. I'll be anxious to see how does Reza Shea look tonight and how quickly does he come in. Like, what's his place in this rotation? Is he your first guy off the bench, or is he a little bit deeper in the rotation behind Jalen Johnson right now? I think we'll get a good clue on his usage tonight, and that might portend for what we're going to see on October the 23rd when they open things up against Brooklyn.
So, Mike, with that being said, I think I asked you this probably back around the draft and everything, after the DeJounte Murray trade and everything, who would the starting five be? If he's not going to be in that five, who would be the starting five if you were talking about the ones getting the majority of the playing time?
This is my guess.
Okay.
I have, and Caleb would probably be in a better position because he's been covering training camp, but this is my guess. Trey, Bogdanovich, Hunter, Jalen Johnson, Clint Capella. That would be my guess.
Okay. All right.
That surprises me, because I kind of like the idea of Bogey still off the bench. And I was buying into this Dyson Daniels offensive output during international play. I thought if he could continue to shoot at that level, maybe that would.
And by the way, that might happen. It might be Trey, Dyson Daniels, Hunter, Johnson, Capella, with Bogey coming off the bench. The two spot is the one I'm least sure about.
Right.
But I do not see a scenario where Jalen Johnson is not starting at the four and where Trae Young is not starting at point guard. I think you could situationally have a Okongwu start in place of Clint Capella, and maybe it evolves where a Okongwu does become your starting center. You know, I agree with you fully. I do like Bogey coming off the bench, the offense that he can produce off the bench. So I think there might be some flex there. And, you know, DeAndre Hunter, unfortunately, just with his injury history, I don't know if you could put it in pen for him to be an 82-game starter at the three spot. So I think you're going to see three of those five spots maybe fluctuate a little bit. But I know for sure it's going to be Trey at the one and Jalen at the four. And it's really their team, and really Trey's team, if you think about it. I mean, this is Trey's team now. They've, you know, they've put him in a position where he's going to have the ball in key moments, and it's going to be his decision and whether or not he wants to facilitate or if he wants to score. And there's no one that's going to be calling for the ball to take it away from him in those spots. This is his team. And I think he's got to step up now and lead the team like it's his. And in the conversation that I think you guys had with him last Monday, I think he's ready to do that. I think he's in a really good place mentally.
Seems like it.
Mike Conley joining us on a, quote, working vacation here on the Midday Show in his regular 11:40 spot on Tuesday. We go across the walkway from State Farm Arena to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United with a thrilling 2-1 win on Saturday night over the New York Red Bulls. And Mike, based on how they've played over the last month of this season, I did not think we are going to be here. But heading into decision day, Atlanta United has an opportunity, if they win and get a little bit of help elsewhere, to make the MLS postseason.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, and it kind of has you kicking yourself a little bit if you're associated with Atlanta United, thinking now, man, if we just would have beaten Nashville, we probably would have been in. Or if we would have found a way to beat Houston, we would have been in. Or, you know, if we hadn't tricked that first game against Charlotte, we would have been in. Or even if we would have gotten a point here or there. That type of thought does no good to anyone associated with the team right now. They just need to concentrate on what they can control, and that's going down to Orlando and trying to win. Orlando does have something to play for. We thought maybe they would not. When we were looking at all the permutations Saturday night, there was a chance they could have locked up a seed over New York City if New York City had not beaten Nashville on Sunday. New York City did win, so Orlando will have something to play for. The three teams that Atlanta United would need to not win on decision day are all playing at home. So Atlanta United does have a chance, and credit to them for playing themselves into that position. It's still going to be really, really hard. Borderline miraculous for Atlanta United to get in. But if you get in,
who knows
what happens from there? Because I think you could very possibly go into Montreal or D.C. and win a wild card game, and then you're going to play the little guy. And you're the only team in the league this year that's taken results twice against Inter-Miami. And you know that your home game, you're going to have 65,000 people there to see Atlanta United play, but see the little guy as well. And that could make things very, very interesting. So you want to get into the dance and then see what happens. And the dance card has not been ripped up yet.
Hey, Mike. Okay, so your Nittany Lions. Okay, we got to get this one in. Now they beat up one of the Southern California teams last week.
Yeah.
Now they got the other one. Now you always talk about. I mean, it's still funny to see USC and Penn State playing a Big Ten game. But what are your thought processes on your team, number four in the country, right now playing some good ball? Offense is moving a little bit. We know the defense is always going to show up. But what do you think about this game right here? As far as, because we've seen it, just everybody has that stinker. And Penn State already had theirs, Mike. So how do you feel about your Nittany Lions going out to California?
Well, first of all, I think it's hilarious, almost ridiculous, that we're living in a world where Penn State is ranked ahead of Georgia.
If you
put the two teams side by side, I don't know how anyone could think that Penn State could stay within three touchdowns of Georgia. So I'm happy to see him at number four. I don't think it's a deserved ranking. This is the real test now for James Franklin. Quite honestly, Randy, these are games where James Franklin has done pretty well in his career. Road games against maybe USC is not ranked. I don't know if they fell out of the top 25 or not. But like a top 25 quality team that's not Ohio State or Michigan. Look at Franklin's record at Wisconsin. Look at his record at Iowa, aside from that one game in 2021 where both teams were horribly overranked. He's actually done pretty well in this situation. I like Penn State's chances to go into the Coliseum and get something. I still, though, fully expect them to trick a game to Purdue or Wisconsin or somewhere down the road on the road a team that they should not lose to. But I think they'll be up for this game on Saturday. Very excited to watch it.
Mike, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on your holiday, and I look forward to having you back in office next week.
Appreciate it, Mikey.
All right, guys. Take care.
Enjoy the rest of it. Appreciate it, as always. Mike Conti.